As I stated before, I really want us to see how God has a plan, and this plan that he has orchestrated that started in the Old Testament, in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, goes throughout history and is fulfilled in his son Jesus Christ. And this plan is seen clearly through all of scriptures. And one of the reasons that we're going through Isaiah is because of this clear cohesiveness between what is said in the book of Isaiah, what the prophet Isaiah says about the Lord and what's going to happen, and what actually has happened in the New Testament and is predicted in the New Testament. So there's a lot of cohesiveness in God's plan. It is perfectly cohesive, as a matter of fact. And I want us to see that and see different scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament in order to get a grasp of this wonderful plan that God has orchestrated through history. Now, many times in the Bible, Bible references are made to agriculture and gardening. Bearing fruit is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. We see here in all of these passages of Scripture the theme of bearing fruit, the theme of gardening, of growing in the Lord, of being part of the Lord. Oh, you forgot somebody? Oh, okay. All right. Very good. And so we want to be a part. We want to see that this theme of gardening, of bearing fruit, of growing in the Lord, is not only part of the New Testament, but part of the Old as well. And it teaches us, these themes of gardening and agriculture teach us about our relationship and our walk with the Lord. In biblical times, most people relied on gardening for their livelihood. Using agricultural terms was a vivid way for the Lord to communicate his message to the people. So for us to understand God's message, it is important that we understand some principles of gardening. Now, in chapters 3, 4, and 5 of Isaiah, some of these themes about gardening that are applied to our Christian walk are shown to us. So within these themes are valuable principles that will give us great wisdom and understanding in our lives. These are the principles that I want us to look at this morning. The first one is found in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Look what it says of Isaiah. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. So the first thing I want us to understand that has to do with this agricultural theme, this theme of growing, is you will gain wisdom and understanding when you realize you will reap what you sow. Your walk with the Lord has a principle of reaping what you sow, guiding it. We're told in chapter 3 about how Israel had gotten away from God. They weren't serving the Lord. They were behaving badly. And because of their bad behavior, they were going to face the consequences of that bad behavior. They were going to reap what they had sown. But not everybody in Israel was bad. Not everybody in Israel was bad. There were still some people in Israel that were serving the Lord. And so he says to the righteous, to those people, he says, but don't worry, you're not going to reap this evil. You're not going to reap the judgment. You are going to be all right. I am going to protect you. You will eat the fruit of your doings. You will eat the fruit of your doings. So this principle of being able to reap when we do good and when we do evil is an important thing for us to remember as Christians. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, we see, I guess that one didn't get it. Oh, there it is. It says, "Do not be despised, deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap the flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Very encouraging words there. But it's very important for us to see. Not only in the Old Testament are we taught that we will reap what we sow, but in the New Testament, right here, talking to believers in Jesus Christ, we have a guiding principle that we will reap what we sow. So, even to us who are following the Lord, it is important that we walk in the Spirit of God, that we put aside the deeds of the flesh so that we don't reap the deeds of the flesh, so that we don't reap evil. An important fact of Christianity is that God wants us to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. He is watching and He wants us to understand that we will reap what we sow. So it's important for us as Christians to walk according to God's ways. Here we are told that God is not mocked. This means that God is taking note of what we are doing. God sees us, and if we continue in the sins of the flesh with disregard for God, there will come destruction. This destruction can come in many ways and in many forms, but it usually is tied to the sins we commit. If you are greedy, it may lead to you to steal and then to jail. Pretty easy example to see. And there's other examples tied to those things that are deeds of the flesh. Now, this passage also tells us that if we follow the Spirit, it will lead to everlasting life. That is what we need to do as Christians. We need to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our lives will produce fruit. Our lives will produce fruit. And we'll talk about what that fruit is later on. But that production, that following the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to guide our lives, will lead us to a path that doesn't lead down to destruction, but it leads to everlasting life. And that is the path we want to follow. That's the path that we should want to follow as Christians. In Proverbs 11:18, it says, "The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward." Now, when I read these passages about promises to the righteous, one of the things that always comes to my mind, and I try to remember this, and try and remember it for you as well, is that doesn't mean perfect people. When God talks about the righteous, He's not talking about perfect people. He's talking about those who are righteous in the sight of God. How do we become righteous in the sight of God? Not by doing a lot of good deeds. No. By trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Allowing Him to forgive us of our sins and be the payment for our sins. When we have Christ as our Savior, no longer does God see us as unrighteous, but as righteous. And so if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, You are righteous in the eyes of God, and this promise is for you. This promise that you will have a sure reward is for you. And we need to remember this. But I believe that when someone has the Holy Spirit living inside of them because they have trusted in Christ as their Savior, that they will want to follow the Lord. That they will strive to produce the fruits that God wants us to produce. And so, although I may not be able to do it perfectly, like Jesus did, I do want that. I do want that. I want to serve and I want to produce the fruits of the Spirit like the Lord wants me to. And because of that, and because of you wanting to serve the Lord like that, your life is going to have rewards. Your life is going to produce rewards. I think about the children in this church and how God is raising them up to serve Him. How they are truly wanting to do right. I want you to understand something. That is a reward from God. A big reward from God. And I'm grateful for that. There's other things. I'm grateful for the reward of a godly wife who I can trust in, who I know will be there, even in the most difficult of times. Those things that have come because I decided to follow the Lord, because I tried to serve Him. He's rewarded me with these things. Not that I deserve them, but He has rewarded me with those things. And He has with you as well. But one thing I want us to understand. Let's not become a victim of our own bad behavior. Or become a victim of our behavior. Several years after inventing radar, Sir Robert Watson Watt was arrested in Canada for speeding. He'd been caught on a radar trap. He wrote this poem. "Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target of his radar plot. And this, with others I could mention, a victim of his own invention." And let's not be like that. Amen? Let's be rewarded by God for our behavior and not be chastised because of our behavior. Okay? Then there's another theme. It's found in chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped." The second principle I want us to see is you will gain wisdom and understanding when you realize good fruit comes from strong, good branches. Once again, we see Isaiah talk about the future reward of his people. Now, this term, branch of the Lord, is a reference to the Messiah. We know that in John 15, the next passage, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now Jesus calls himself the vine. In Isaiah, he's called the branch. I guess you could just say the same, that word there, vine and branch, are referring to the same thing. That Jesus is the one who will, if we attach ourselves to him, will help us produce fruit in our lives. And that's what we need to understand. We need to be connected to the branch, to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are going to bear the kind of fruit that God wants us to bear. Now, the Apostle Paul referred to believers in Jesus as those grafted in to the promises of God spoken of in Isaiah chapter 4. We are grafted in by God, but by the Lord. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are grafted into this promise of God. As Paul spoke about Israel, we are told that all those who trust in Christ are the true Israel and are grafted in to this promise, all the promises that were made by Israel. So I want us to see that. I want us to see the connection and how it's all tied together by God. In John 15, we see Jesus refer to himself as the vine. Now, Jesus is the vine, and we are the branch, and he will give us the nutrients we need to bear good fruit. We can't bear good fruit on our own. We must be connected to the good vine in order to produce good fruit. Once there was a briar growing in a ditch, and there came along a gardener with his spade. As he dug around it and lifted it up, the briar said to itself, "What is he doing? Does he know I am a worthless briar?" But the gardener took it into his garden and planted it amid his flowers. While the briar said, "What a mistake he has made planting me among these beautiful roses." Then the gardener came once more and made a slit in the briar with his sharp knife. He grafted it with a rose, and when summer came, lovely roses were blooming on that old briar. Then the gardener said, "Your beauty is not due to what came out, but to what I put in." And that is a great way of looking at what Jesus has done for us. God has a plan. He has this marvelous plan to save mankind, to redeem them and redeem this universe. And all those who put their trust in Jesus Christ are grafted into the Lord and his plan, and are grafted into this plan. And because you are grafted in, you produce good works, good fruit for the Lord. Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and he will give you a life pleasing to him, and you will produce good fruit. Finally, you will gain wisdom and understanding when you realize the gardener, God, is looking for good fruit. In Isaiah chapter 5, we see it says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes." Now, God and his plan in using Israel set up everything necessary for Israel to produce good fruit, for Israel to be that witness to the world that God wanted them to be. But they didn't do that. They strayed from the Lord. But us as Christians, God has given us everything we need through his Spirit to produce good fruit. And he expects good fruit to come from us. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told what that good fruit is. In 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, this is a wonderful reference to the fruit that God wants us to produce. But there are other references in the Bible to what fruit is. It's important that we know what fruit is. This particular passage tells us that fruit is godly character. That fruit is godly character. So we are to have good character as people that are grafted in to the promises of God. So we should be kind. We should show love towards one another. We should have peace in our hearts. We should be kind to others. We should be faithful to the Lord. We should exhibit gentleness and self-control. All wonderful character traits. Charles Ryrie writes about fruit when he says, a developing Christian character is fruit. If the goal of the Christian life may be stated as Christ-likeness, then surely every trait developed in us that reflects his character must be fruit that is very pleasing to him. Paul described the fruit of the Spirit in 9 terms in Galatians, and we just listed those terms. Now, there's other fruit. Those who come to Christ through fruit of our witness are fruit. So those who come to Christ through our witness are fruit as well. When we tell others about Jesus Christ, when we live before them in a way that draws them to Jesus Christ, that's fruit in our lives. That's fruit. Paul longed to go to Rome to have some fruit from his ministry there. We're told in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And he characterized the conversion of the household of Stephanas as the first fruits of Achaia. So there's this idea that as we witness to others, we're producing fruit in our lives that's pleasing to God. And I believe that. We may also bear fruit with our lips by giving praise to God and thankfully confessing his name. We're told that in Hebrews 13:15. In other words, our lips bear fruit when we offer thankful acknowledgement to the name of God. And this is something we should do continually. So when we offer praise to God, like we did this morning as we were singing praises to God, when we're doing it with a grateful heart, that's producing fruit in our lives. The fruit that God wants us to produce. And then we bear fruit when we give money. Paul designated the collection of money for the poorer saints in Jerusalem as fruit. He says in Romans 15:28. 2, when he thanked the Philippians for their financial support of his ministry, he said that their act of giving brought fruit to their account. And that's found in Philippians chapter 4. So the idea here is this. When you are connected with the Lord, when you are connected to his Son Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit filling you, it's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce the fruit that God wants and the fruit that he expects. I hope today that you can see God producing these things in your life. That you can see a progression in your life. That you are actually growing as you have this relationship with the Lord. You see, all these gardening terms that are being used here should make us realize that the Christian walk, the Christian life, is a growing process. That we will grow and produce fruit, and that the Lord wants us to be in this growing process. Our character should be different than it was 25 years ago, because we are growing in the Lord. We are becoming more like him. The things that we do to produce other fruit are growing as well. So these are the things that I hope we'll think about. Do I have a growing relationship with the Lord? Because that's what He wants from us. He wants us to have a growing relationship with Him.